So we're continuing chapter 27 of Tanya. And the discussion is about depression and why that's a problem and how to overcome depression. So in the previous class on the Perek Chav Zayin, we talked about the depression that a person might encounter because life, from a spiritual perspective, from what I'm trying to accomplish on a spiritual level, is a big fat failure. I'm getting nowhere. I'm trying to make a difference. I'm trying to change myself, and I'm not changed. And maybe I experience moments of inspiration, and maybe I get elevated a little bit, and then I just come crashing right back down. Maybe yesterday was Pesach, and maybe yesterday I was at a Mashiach Suda, maybe yesterday I was inspired, and I woke up in the morning, and I didn't feel inspired anymore. And Pesach is gone. It just dissipated. All that's left is dishes to wash and stuff to deal with, and I don't feel inspired at all. And a person can get depressed because my avodah, my efforts, are basically a waste of time. And this comes specifically in the form of bad thoughts, of lethargy and laziness, of lust and desire, of somebody seeking sensual libido instead of spiritual satisfaction. And as a result, the person gets kind of down. So the Alter Rebbe said, there's no reason to get down. On the contrary, this is a challenge. It's an opportunity. Overcome those issues, those difficulties, and in doing so, you come closer to Hashem. In fact, you have mitzvahs to be, so to speak, waiting to be picked. Your mitzvah tree is full. Why is your mitzvah tree full? These are bad thoughts, these are bad things. But the Gemara tells us, Yosha v'le over aveda, kilo asa mitzvah. If a person restrained themselves from doing a sin, so it's as if they do a mitzvah. So therefore, that's not a reason to get down. On the contrary, person should rejoice in the opportunity to do a mitzvah. Mitzvahs should be a source of joy and overcoming the sadness, the depression, the melancholy, the challenges that your Yetzirah presents to you should be a reason that I should be serving Hashem with simcha. So now the Alter Rebbe continues this theme, and he talks about sizing ourselves upright. One of the biggest problems, the Alter Rebbe maintained, the reason that people do not find joy in life is because they have a jaded and inappropriate perspective of themselves. They see themselves as somebody they aren't, and ultimately, this is all rooted not in holiness, but in arrogance, which is always a bad thing. So it's all rooted in arrogance. Now, in order to understand this, I want to back up for a moment and remind you that we talked of a person feeling a sense of emptiness and gnawing sadness because they're not accomplishing what they're supposed to accomplish, or because, in fact, they did lots of things that are inappropriate. And if they don't feel bad at all, that's really a problem. It's not okay to be hunky, you know, say everything's hunky-dory, happy-go-lucky. So I didn't, so what? So I killed a few people along the way. That's not a reason for me to get down. That's a problem. That's a problem. If a person harmed other people and he or she doesn't care about owning up to the harm they caused, that's not okay. Now, I'm using the example of harming other people because in the Western world, the only thing that's actually meaningful is if you harm somebody else. But if you go against Hashem, and if you harm your neshama or harm the spiritual reality of your spiritual ozone layer, that means nothing. If you harm the environment, then you're a terrible sinner. But if you harm the spiritual environment, that doesn't make a difference. Well, it does make a difference. But if somebody out there doesn't have the ability to wrap their heads around that, fine. So let it be. We're talking about harming somebody physically, materially, literally. I can't just move on. I can't just say, well, I can't be bothered with that. I've got past that. You got past that. But how about the people you abused? How about the people you harmed? How about the people you robbed? How about the people you can't just ignore what happened. So the Alter Rebbe said, true, you have to deal with it. But there's a need for compartmentalization. There's a time for everything. There's a time for melancholy, a time to look at the things in life that weren't right, and a time to deal with it. Like a theme the Alter Rebbe begins the Tanya with, if it doesn't bother you at all, so yachal avol lekalos, you come to a sense of indifference, and nothing means anything. Who cares? Why should I be bothered? So it has to bother me. And one of the themes that Alter Rebbe touched upon was, where does it come from? Is it coming from the nefesh lekis? It's coming from the godly soul, or from the nefesh habam? It's coming from the animal soul. That's the decision that you have to come to. You have to come to this conclusion. And the Alter Rebbe said, timing is a big indicator. If you're in the midst of doing material things, your business, and all of a sudden you have these waves of melancholy and sadness and depression at your spiritual failings that are washing over you, ask yourself the question, where's that coming from? He's coming from Nefesh Elikis. What? How did your Nefesh Elikis, your godly, selfless sense, all of a sudden get so excited? What provoked, what inspired, what engaged him? You're not dealing with anything which is in that realm at all. So clearly, this is the animal soul, this is the Yetzer Hara, shooting at you now, trying to bring you down. How's he going to bring you down? Melancholy, as we discussed earlier. Sadness, depression, melancholy, the greatest stumbling block. So we have to know where this comes from. So Alter Rebbe now is going to show us that when a person is sad or depressed because they feel they haven't changed their persona, because they still have the same lusts and desires, and as a result, they feel so lowly, so dirty, and therefore they get depressed. The Alter Rebbe says that does not come from the godly soul. That's not the frustration of the selfless side. That comes from the selfish side. That comes from the animal soul. That comes ultimately from the Yetzer Hara, as he explains. Adrabba, says the Alter Rebbe, in Perek Chaf Zayin. On the contrary, ha'atzvos, this sadness, is not an act of love and loyalty to Hashem. It's not an expression of humility and homage. No, this depression, this melancholy, this comes purely from arrogance. It's rooted in arrogance. So when a person not only has to find joy in the fact that he or she may have lusts, desires, and laziness, that it's inappropriate, which you have to overcome, that there's issues of conceit and frustration and anger, which is bad, and now I have to overcome those things so I can overcome it, so rejoice in the fact that I have a mitzvah opportunity. Alter Rebbe says further, you shouldn't even be depressed about this at all. The fact that you're getting sad about it simply is a sign that you suffer from a complex. You think you're somebody you aren't.
That I deserve.
It's much more than that I deserve, as you'll see in a moment. It's much more than entitlement. She'eni makir mekoymi. You don't know your place. You know, the Meseches Avos, which we start to study now between Pesach and Shavuos, speaks volumes about character development by going above and beyond the call of duty. That's the idea of Pirkei Avos. Mili de Chasidusa, measures or teachings of piety. And piety, from a Torah perspective, is lefnim mishuras adin. Not to follow the rule, not to do what you're supposed to do by the cut and dry or within the box of legal requirements, but going beyond that. A law-abiding citizen is not pious. A law-abiding citizen is lawful. Piety means to go beyond what's required. And there are six chapters. Initially there was five, there was six added. So in the sixth chapter, which is usually referred to as Perek Kinyan Torah, the Perek that talks about acquiring, acquisition of Torah, it's the chapter of Pirkei Avos we read always of the week, the Shabbat before Matan Torah, before Shavuot. So in that chapter, we have this long list, a litany of things, Sha'atayra Niknesbem, 48 ways, 48 steps to be able to acquire Torah. And one of them is Hamakiris Mekoyme. You have to know your place. Because if you don't know your place, and you have these grandiose images of yourself, which are not reasonable or accurate, then you're going to get depressed. You're not going to find satisfaction. So there's a beautiful expression in the Ibn Ezra, where he talks about this metaphor, a parable, of a simple villager, of a peasant, who sees the princess, and he's overwhelmed. She's so beautiful. He's like overwhelmed with her beauty. He said, the peasant would have to be a total lunatic to start to lust the princess. He's never going to get close to her. He's never going to have any kind of, he's not going to do with her. She's in a level that's so far removed from her. If he would start to have thoughts like that, it would just simply be silly. It's beyond his realm altogether. The guy is out of his water. So is a person going to become sad and depressed if a person plays a softball? In the league, little league, plays, he's doing okay. You know, he's got a team, he's got the chevra, they have fun together, they get together, they play softball. Okay, very nice. And he's, why is he sad? I wish I was playing in the major leagues. I should be a major league pitcher. I should be pitching in the World Series. Like, what are you talking about? Like, if you want to say there's a fellow who made the A team and the B team and the C team, and he was like, he almost made it, and then he didn't make it, and he feels bad he didn't make it. Okay, I understand. But a guy who never made it to any farm teams, he's just a guy playing softball. He's in a show league. He's going to feel bad that he didn't make it to the big leagues. It's silly. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. So you have to be makedus mekayma. You have to know your place. A person who gets sad about things that are so far beyond what they're capable of simply doesn't know his place. And that's what you call arrogance. He's haughty. He's a legend in his own mind. He convinced himself that he's capable of things he's simply not capable of. So we explained earlier that the difference between a tzaddik and a beinoni, See, the tzaddik, if you left him to his own devices, if tzaddik wouldn't battle his yetzahara once for the next 24 hours, he still wouldn't do any avedas. Because tzaddik doesn't even have a yetzahara. Now, the tzaddik would be falling short in his avedah. There wouldn't be sins of commission, there would be sins of omission. The tzaddik could strive and go higher. And if he's not working and making an effort and trying to do more, that's a problem. Tzaddik has to push himself to always go above and beyond. That's the tzaddik's problem. You and I don't suffer from these issues. That's not our issue or our problem. So, but if the tzaddik wouldn't be fighting his yetzahara, things would be just fine. If you and I wouldn't fight our yetzahara, we probably wouldn't get through an hour without doing an aveda. If we get through a half hour, we'll be lucky. Why? Because our yetzahara does not go to sleep. Our yetzahara is always active and busy. And as he, the yetzahara, is active and busy, we have to be active and busy to combat the yetzahara. Like using a metaphor that we could all understand, unfortunately, these days. If the IDF put down their weapons, whole IDF closed, just for 24 hours. No air force, no artillery, no infantry, no border control, nothing, nothing, nothing. You know what, guys? We got a big broadcast, everybody go on vacation, all the IDF soldiers deserve a vacation, just chill. And you make a big public broadcast, there is no Israeli army for the next 24 hours. Tell me, what do you think would happen in Israel? It's too scary even to think about. It's too scary to think about. What would happen in Canada if they would say, no Canadian army?
We'd save a lot of money.
Yeah, we'd save money. We'll say, what's the difference? Don't mind enough, give me a Canadian army, not a Canadian army. Why? Because the Canadian army is not engaged in any active battles. I mean, we have self-defense, but primarily it, when there was going to be an attack from Russia, as everybody feared for decades, who was going to defend Canada? We assumed the United States. Like our army, like we don't really have much of an army, let's face it. We can contribute troops to UN peacekeeping, which is probably the biggest oxymoron in the English language today. But having the like, we don't have much of an army. So we're not in a situation, we're in a conflict situation where there's people who are trying to actively kill and murder citizens and enemies of Canada. We don't really have that. But if in Israel, it's too scary to think about. Okay, so the Beinoni and the Tzaddik, the Beinoni, he's like in Israel today. The Yetzirah sniping and trying to attack with knives and bombs and guns and vans and every second of the day. In the Israeli Defense Services or Security Service don't get a day of vacation. They don't get a minute off. But the tzaddik doesn't have those issues. So therefore, is the tzaddik going to be jealous, for example, of somebody else's success? No, he's a tzaddik. He's not interested in self-preservation and self-development and self-aggrandizement and sensual libido. Is the tzaddik going to see non-kosher food and lust for it, the desire? No, he's not interested. It doesn't bother him. It's not on his radar. He doesn't have the lusts and desires that regular people have. Now here we have a person who very much has lusts and desires. And he has lusts and desires, and he feels depressed. Why do I have lusts and desires? Enough already. I'm fighting with my Yetzirah for so many years. I still have lusts and desires. Shame on me. I'm depressed. Says the Alter Rebbe, what are you depressed about? Because you're not a tzaddik? Who told you you're a tzaddik? Where did you get this crazy idea from that you're not supposed to have bad thoughts, that you're not supposed to have lust desires and therefore get depressed about it? It's only because any makam kema. You didn't size yourself upright. Had you sized yourself upright, you'd be able to serve Hashem b'simcha v'tuv levav, not only despite the lusts and desires, but even because of the lusts and desires. The lusts and desires themselves, that is a way for you to be able to serve Hashem. If a person would know his place, he's very far from Madrega Vatzadik. In Chassidus, there's a discussion of a Zoharic concept. And the Zoharic concept talks about neshamas. It says there are neshamas which is called Zera Adam and Zera Behema. There are souls which are called the animal seed and souls which are called human seed. What's the difference in animal soul and human seed? Animals have emotions, very powerful emotions. There's this picture going around Facebook now of a dog laying on a grave, weeping or crying, or it's a video. And there are many stories like this of dogs who lose their owners, or the owners disappear, and the dog is totally shattered, totally broken. And anybody who has a dog will tell you about the joy when they come home, and the dog covers them with affection and love and kisses and so on and so forth. And it's a very powerful thing. It's also free and unearned, and therefore maybe not healthy. Maybe it is healthy. I don't know. This is another discussion. But the point is, the animal is motivated entirely by emotion. It's an emotional creature. It's got lots of passion. Can you sit and reason with the dog? Could you explain to the dog why I shouldn't be melancholy or why I should be excited? It's not shaykh. You cannot reason with the dog. you can maybe the only amount of logic you can come to him is if he knows if he does his doo-doo over here, he doesn't get a biscuit. But if he runs outside, he gets a biscuit. This he understands. Biscuits he understands. Now you're talking his language. But a human being functions intelligently, or at least he or she is supposed to function intelligently. There are lots of human beings who behave like absolute animals. That it's all what's in it for me. You give me a biscuit. If you give me a biscuit or the biscuit of sorts, then I'll behave like a mensch. Otherwise, I'll do my doo-doo right here in the middle of the living room. And say, like, oh, you're not a mensch? He says, no, I'm not a mensch. Pay me, give me. What's in it for me? That's basically a person acting like an animal. So animals and people, they're not exactly going to meet. The twain shall not meet. It's not like the animal slowly, if you educate the animal slowly, but surely, eventually he evolves into a human persona, a human perspective. He's always going to remain an animal. There's a famous story with the Rambam, where there was an argument between him and some of the other natural scientists, whether animals could intrinsically change. And the Rambam said it's impossible. He wrote numerous times that it's impossible, an animal always remain an animal. And the Rambam's detractors are trying to discredit him. So in the presence of the vizier, or whatever it was, the king of Egypt, where the Rambam ministered the sultan as the royal physician, they challenged the Rambam that his scientific approach was wrong, and in fact could be proven otherwise. And they took a cat, and they trained this cat to be a waiter. And the cat was coming in, was brought in to the royal throne room, and he was carrying tea, or something like that, on a little tray, and he had little cups. Cat's coming in. And it looked like the cat's a human. The cat, this was a really good circus act. It looked really good. And the Rambam is being shamed and discredited. But very quietly and surreptitiously, the Rambam takes a little mouse out of his pocket. And he throws the mouse on the floor. And all of a sudden, the cat smelled the mouse. And the tea went this way, and the little uniform went that way, and the cat became a cat in a flash. There he was on the floor, chasing the mouse. And that score settled. And the story, the argument was no longer pursued. And the point is that if the cat would get depressed, he says, I can't believe I behaved like a cat. I'm not a mensch. I trained. It looked so hard to be a waiter. I'm finally a waiter. Why did I become a cat again? What would the answer be? Because you are a cat. So, see, a cat's going to be depressed that he's not a person? That's foolish. A cat is a cat. So know who you are, and that's all. So Hasidim used to say, we know that neshamas of Beinanim come generally from Zera Behema. Neshamas of Tzadikim come from Zera Adam. So what, are you going to get depressed you're not a tzaddik? Most of us are never able to be a tzaddik. It's not on a radar. It's not possible. I'm not going to be an Olympian if I train for the next 20 years. I'm not going to be an Olympian. It's not where I have the strength. It's not where Hashem gave me talent and ability. It's a foolish thing. It doesn't make any sense. So the Zera Adam neshama is not going to become a Zera Behem, is not going to become a Zera Adam. And otherwise, if he thinks that he is, if he was Makir Mekoymai, that he's Rachik Ma'id means oftentimes an impossible gap to close. A gulf that is too wide, it can't be crossed, it's not going to happen. So then he wouldn't get into this depression, he wouldn't feel silly like this. So what would he focus on then? He would say, Halavai Hayo Beinani. Halavai, I should be a Beinani. V'lei Rasha, afilu sha'achas. I wish I could be a Beinani for a moment. If I could be a Beinani for a moment, I'm already going to be happy. So this is understood in a broad, in a general sense, of tzaddikim and Beinanim, but it also could be understood in an individual sense. The Rebbe, in one of his very early notes, Beinani always controls the Yetzirah in the realm of action. Yeah. The Beinani doesn't do the wrong thing, the Beinani thinks the wrong thing, feels the wrong thing, but doesn't give into it. And by the way, action includes rumination, to sit and think about it, to contemplate sin. That's also an action taken. Maybe it's a lav she'im b'maisa, maybe it's a lav she'im b'maisa, maybe it's a negative commandment of the Torah that doesn't have an action attached to it, but it's still something which you're not supposed to do. As we read in the Shema every single day, v'lo taturu, achare levavchem v'achare nechem. Person, what do you mean? I lo taturu, I saw it. It caught my eye. What do you want from me? How could I be held guilty when I caught my eye? There's something that interests me. It caught my eye, so I saw it. So what's the answer? The answer is, you don't get punished for it catching your eye. You don't even get punished for being interested in it. What do you get punished for?
What you do with
it. Ruminating. You made a decision to think about it. That's the problem. What should you have done? Decheu b'shtei yadayim. Push it away with two hands. I'm not doing that. I'm not thinking about that. I don't do that. That's where you get into the issue. That's where your problem is. There are people, Rahman al-Tsan, who have suicidal tendencies. For people who have this, it's a real problem. They have suicidal tendencies. They actually get depressed and they contemplate killing themselves. So a person, Rahman al-San, who has suicidal tendencies, so what should they say? God hates me? God made me suicidal? I should kill myself because I have this desire? No, what should a person like that say? I shouldn't think about these kind of things. First of all, this pharmacology, or maybe second of all, I don't know what comes first or second. And pharmacology is sometimes important if there's a chemical imbalance in the brain, which should be dealt with effectively by a professional. But there's also psychology. And the psychology is a person could be trained to have positive thoughts and not to entertain this kind of suicidal ideas. Just when they come, push them away. Ignore them. Don't entertain them. Don't accept them. Not every email has to be accepted. We all get viruses these days. You know how many viruses you get to get? And it always comes from somebody you think you know. You got to see this. By now, you've got to be smart enough to know that if a friend, you know, you've got to see this, do not click that link. Why? Because it's going to eat up your basically hard drive or something stupid like that. Just delete it. Or if you're really not sure, call the person and say, by the way, did you send me an email? He says, no. Okay, great. Just wanted to check. Because you guys, because you got the email, doesn't mean you have to open it. Don't click on the link. So you got the bad thought, so push it away. So there are people that have desires for unhealthy behavior, which the Torah calls unhealthy. Which the Torah calls to be immoral. And they have these desires. Very strong, very powerful desires. Some of the most powerful desires known to humankind, and they suffer from these desires. So what do they say? God hates me. God hates me. And therefore they hate God. Which is exactly what, like Rashi explains, it's in your heart, you put off on the one who loves you. Like the Jewish people grumbled in their tents and they said, "Besinus Hashem hatesyonu mitzrayim." God hates us. That's why He took us out of Mitzrayim. And Rashi says, this is what people say, "Madalibir berachmech." So Hashem loves you. Hashem gave you challenges. Why He gave you the challenges, only God knows. And only God knows you need these challenges. And the person has these terrible challenges, these terrible lusts and desires, which the Torah says are immoral. So he comes with a logic. If it would really be bad, why would God give it to me? It must be good. It must be good. What's the proof God gave it to me? Maybe not. Maybe God gave it to you, you should overcome these desires. Maybe that God gave you these desires because He loves you and because He knows that you have an incredible neshama and that by not doing these avedas, you come closer to Hashem. How do you know? People hate God, so they say God hates them. That's not true. And the person gets melancholy, gets depressed. Look what kind of disgusting person I am. I have these horrible thoughts. I have these terrible desires, which the Torah says all kinds of terrible things about. And I'm that terrible guy. I'm the person the Torah is talking about. The Torah says, this person, A, B, C, and D. You see that? And God gave that to me. I'm a terrible person. I'm miserable. What happens often to people like this? They get so depressed and angry at God, they leave Yiddishkeit altogether. Why? Because they can't deal with the sadness. Can't deal with the depression. How could it be God gave me this reality? What's the answer? So first of all, I don't know the answer. In other words, I don't know why God gave somebody challenges. It's very easy for me to sit in a place of security and talk about a guy, somebody who's being attacked. But the truth is, objectively speaking, take away the subjectivity of who says it. Objectively speaking, when a person has lusts and desires, so that's a challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. And for other people, they don't have those desires. So the Rebbe pointed out in one of his early manuscripts that the idea of Tzadik Bein Nirasha could be in our own life. There are certain things which we have no desire for. Lucky you. You don't have a desire for it. You can't look down at somebody who does have a desire for it. You don't have a desire. Good for you. Then there are things we may have desires for, but we wouldn't do it. I don't know if bacon and eggs is disgusting. Maybe it's delicious. I don't know. Can't tell you if I would be hungry, it wouldn't smell good. I could tell you with fair certainty, I don't think I would ever eat bacon and eggs. I never did it. I don't think I did. And this, I feel like a Beinoni. But it's a Beinoni without a Veda. It didn't come because I used to eat bacon and eggs, and then I finally pulled myself away from bacon and eggs, and I keep thinking about bacon and eggs, and I'm fighting with myself every day. Lepo mamish, I'm not going to have any. I can't tell you what would revolt me. I don't know, maybe it would. But it's not going to happen. And then there are Vedas that every one of us does all the time. Whether it's Lashon Hara, whether it's Machshav Azadis, whether it's slander, bad talk, whether it's anger, whether it's frustration. There are things we do every day. And in this, we're like a Rasha. And by the way, we're a good Rasha. We're full of Charata most of the time. We're full of regrets. You know what the worst Aveda is? The Aveda you have no regrets for whatsoever. The Rambam talks about the worst Aveda. What's the worst Aveda? He says bad thoughts. Looking where you shouldn't look and entertaining. He says bad thoughts. You didn't do anything. Rambam says the worst Aveda. Why is the worst Aveda? Because you have no guilt. I'm a tzaddik. I didn't do anything wrong. I looked. So what? I looked at it. I didn't do anything. the aveda that you're never going to think you have to ever give a din v'cheshbon, you're never going to have to give a reckoning for, that's the worst aveda. So when these things can be like a rasha, and if we have guilt, Baruch Hashem.
Guilt is good.
Huh?
Guilt is good.
Well, guilt is good, in other words, like this. If guilt brings me to do tshuva, then guilt is good. If I'm guiltless, if I could care less, I'm in trouble. And that's what we discussed earlier. We said if a person doesn't care at all, yachalava de kalas, then he comes to like, nothing matters. But guilt is not good when I'm not supposed to be focusing on that. There's a time for it. There's a time for everything. The things I did wrong, I have to deal with, but compartmentalize. You're davening now, don't look at your phone. Put your phone away. You're answering, you're dealing with something now, focus. Stay focused. The biggest problem we have to be, keep looking here, looking there. What became ADDs? ADDers can't focus. Here, there, looking, 50 things going on at the same time, so we're not getting anything done. Why? Because we're looking all over the place. So, that's it. I'm doing this now, then that's what I'm doing now. And I'll finish this in 10 minutes, then I'll get to that. Have control over your life. And part of having control is knowing when I'm going to be depressed or sad or feeling guilty about things, and when I'm not going to be. As a rule, when it comes to Avedas Hashem, serving Hashem has to be mitoich simcha v'tuv levav. Serving Hashem has to be in a state of joy and gladness of heart. What should I do with my guilt and my sadness and my depression? Compartmentalize. You'll deal with that at a certain point. Not now. It's not now. Now I have to serve Hashem with joy. So when I'm serving Hashem with joy, I have to know that halavai, I should be a beinoni. And therefore, I shouldn't get depressed and sad that I'm having bad thoughts. I'm a beinoni, maybe, at best. Halavai. Halavai, I'll be a beinoni. Halavai, they'll get bombarded with these bad thoughts. Halavai, I'll have these lusts and desires. And there, the Alter Rebbe says something now which is critical. This, my dear friend, is who we really are. Like it or lump it, it is what it is. Who are we really? The midah of the beinoni. This is the midah of the measure of the beinoni. The measure of the beinoni, and this is the avodah of the beinoni. So A, it's our measure. It's who you are. Don't try to be somebody you aren't. B, embrace it. That's your avodah. What's your avodah? Lichbei shayetzer. You've got to conquer the Yetzer Hara and take joy in the fact that you do conquer the Yetzer Hara when you do. Yes, those lusts, those desires, those bad thoughts that come from the heart into the brain. Perfect. That's it. That's where your snipers should be standing ready. When they infiltrate the border, especially when they're burning tires and throw a smoke screen, have live ammunition. Pick them off. Shoot them down. Because otherwise, your entire existence will be chas v'shalom endangered. That's your job. So what is the sniper, the IDF sniper who's now sitting at the border in Gaza where they're burning 10,000 tires that the ecologists couldn't care less about because it's against Israel. And here he is sitting there, they're breaking through and he's getting depressed, the sniper. Look at my job. I have to sit here dressed like a tree. You know, these guys, when these snipers, when they find their hiding place, they can't even go to the washroom. They take like a like a bucket, like they don't move because it's so hard to get properly camouflaged. So look at me. I'm sitting like a nut bar, with covered with trees, painted green and brown, holding a gun that's covered with branches, and here I sit for 12 hours, 18 hours, I can't even go to the washroom. What a yukl I am. Why don't I have some kind of glorious, exciting job? What would the answer be?
That's your job.
Rejoice in your job. You're devoted to the state, you're devoted to the country, you're devoted to the people. Rejoice in your opportunity. What did you do? You had the opportunity to defend. How? By being standing ready, doing your job. You're a beinoni. You're a beinoni, you're not a prime minister. Who asked you to be a prime minister? It's maybe more fun to sit in the prime minister's office. Maybe it isn't, I don't know. But that doesn't make a difference. If you want to do your job, you be a good sniper. Your Yetzer Hara is sending terrorists across the border, pick them out. Every time a hero comes, me a lev lomech, shoot it down. La siach daite legamri menu. Turn your mind from it and totally away. That's our answer. We don't wrestle with bad thoughts. The Chassidus Chabad's approach, Alter Rebbe's approach is do not wrestle with it. Ha misavikim ha menuvel misnavel. You wrestle with the dirty one, you yourself get dirty. Don't wrestle with it. Don't try to reason with it. Don't rationalize it. Just, you know it's wrong, turn yourself away from it. Lidchoysoi, push it away. Bishtei hayudayim. You have a right hand, the left hand, the strong hand, the weaker. Push it away. Push it away. And stay focused. And that's not a reason for sadness. And if somebody does get sad, it's simply because he has an unreasonable image of themselves and they didn't size themselves up upright. So, in closing, let's size ourselves up right. Let's be joyous, not depressed, not sad. Let's approach our Avodas Hashem with a sense of exuberance. And if we do, then we'll be successful. And what is success? That you won't have bad machshavas? No, that's not success. Success is that nobody gets across the border. That's success. They'll always be there. You're not going to change that. Your job to make sure you don't actually choose. That's the big difference. You don't choose to allow the terrorist in. To be continued.